are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Here it is. It's the God Geeks Podcast. The podcast that's downloading to your device that you've been waiting for all week long on pins and needles. The God Geeks Podcast, where OMG means oh my geek. And here's the thing. We're going to get into some geeky stuff theologically. We're going to get into some geeky stuff culturally. Mm-hmm. We're going to geek out about our movie game. We're going to get a quick update from James on his diet challenge that you are now openly challenged to do yourself if you so are so led. And then we're going to obviously just get down and dirty and spoil all kinds of stuff on Westworld.
Oh, yeah.
So, we're going to start the whole thing off with a little segment we like to call Jedi Mind Tricks.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
It's Jedi Mind Tricks, the portion of the show where we get down and dirty into some theology and really geek out about God and our journeys in His Word, and we're both in ministry, but you know, I don't think you have to be in ministry to sort of get down with what we do in this segment. I mean, it's just we're gonna geek out about who Jesus is and what He's up to, and that's what this portion of the show is.
Yeah.
And I have a little topic for us, which I find fascinating. And there's a little bit of a story behind it. And this happened a while back. I get the opportunity to engage in conversations about theology in a lot mm-hmm. of different places.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of rooms that I'm actually in, invited into, and help lead discussions on theological things are with people who they have a lot of baggage about Christianity. They have a lot of questions about Christianity, and they have a lot of problems with someone having fixed ideas about Christianity.
Sure.
And one of the questions that I got recently, which I found, it came out of nowhere. I found it fascinating, and I think it's a great question, and it's perfect because of the culture and environment that we live in, and so the story of this particular question, we were in a discussion about the scriptures and what they say and what Christianity is, and I was helping lead that discussion, and one of the members of this group, there was a couple who expressed this concern, and they really had, you could tell, a lot of issues with this. But the main question and comment and the way that it was stated was, you keep referring to God as He.
Yeah.
Why is it important that God be referred to in the masculine sense, you know?
Yeah.
So it really a question about the gender of God, you know, calling God He. And so this will be fun for me to do and just ask that question to you. Why is it important for you to, for that He be referred to as a He, that God be referred to as a male?
Yeah. I don't know if I have much of an answer for why it's important other than if it's the truth, it's important. I mean, that's an important reason. If that's what he is male, then that's how we should speak about him. And I guess my thoughts when I started thinking about it, because I'd never really thought about this question that much before, because I was just assumed, oh, yeah, he's a he. Come on. Come on. Great, I'm a guy. A he's a guy.
Question,
come on.
It's a great question to ask because it's one of these that comes out of nowhere. Like,
it does, yeah.
It does kind of put you back a little bit.
So the first question, I to get to that question, I was thinking, well, how do we know he is a he? And to me, I think there is a simple answer. When God became flesh, he took the form of a man.
Okay.
When he became man, he took the form of a man.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that would mean that God in the flesh is a male. That means God is a male. And we refer to him as Father. And Christ referred to him as Father.
Okay. So this is fascinating, because this is where the conversation essentially went.
Yeah. Okay.
I took a little bit different angle, but we said that basically the same thing.
Okay.
What you said was, I mean, you know, what you had just essentially said, which is 100% true.
Okay.
Is that the Son of God?
Yeah. He's a son.
Is the man Jesus?
Yeah.
And
if he took the form of a female, I think it'd be a different conversation. But
well,
he didn't.
Well, yeah, he didn't.
He didn't.
He didn't. And we'll come back to the why he didn't.
Why he didn't. That's what I want to know. Yeah.
Well, there'll be some mystery to that, but let's continue down that road. And then we have God the Father, mm-hmm. okay? We have God the Son, mm-hmm. okay? Both of those are by necessity, masculine descriptions or characteristics of God. The next question.
I think I know what the next question is going to be.
Okay, well, what do you think?
Well, then
the
Holy Spirit. Why can't it be feminine?
Okay,
have an answer for that.
Well, here's the way that it came out in this particular context.
Okay,
which I think gives you a lot of insight into the antagonism against the idea that God is a man, because the response was, and what I loved is this is very sincere. And it was a very sincere conversation about all of this to have with people, and I'm blessed by it. The response was, "Can you show me? Can you point to me
mm-hmm.
where then in the scriptures does it? Can you name anything where it says the Holy Spirit's a man?"
I don't think I can off the top of my head, but I'm thinking maybe Old
Testament.
That was exactly.
I said we can Google it.
Well, yeah, we can Google it. I can't think
because
off the top
I'm
of
confident
head.
That the scriptures do. But guess what?
Do they or don't they?
What do you think?
I'm thinking they do.
Okay.
Because it would be consistent with God. If God in any of his three forms is it
possible that he's somehow ambiguous about the masculinity of the Holy Spirit?
Right,
is
with
it possible?
God, all things are possible, but I'm not sure if that's probable.
The answer is there's plenty of places where the Holy Spirit is specifically referred to as he. Which,
and that doesn't surprise me.
Well, it doesn't surprise you, but I'll tell you the mistake that a lot of Christians make is they refer to the Holy Spirit as it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This happens.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that a lot. Because
with
ghost
pastors,
it, you know.
Pastors that I really love and respect, slip and say it, the spirit.
I'm sure I've done
it
a million times.
The spirit being an it. Well, it is he, and it is clearly a he in several different places, but I'll just name a few.
Okay. Off the top of your head.
John, well, from a list that I went and followed up the questions
with
the people that we had the discussion with.
Okay.
Because I did... That's the best thing, I think, by the way, as a side note, one of the best things that you can do is say, I don't know the answer, but I will find out and I will get back to you on
it. I think that's the best teacher trick, if you will, for building rapport with kids and
trust.
Well,
it's just a sincere way to respond. Can I name to you a verse where the Holy Spirit is referred to as a he off the top of my head? No, I cannot. And I did not expect that you would ask me that. But you know what? I'll find you more than one, and I'll get back to you. And so,
here we go.
If anyone is curious, John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:13, John 14:17, Matthew 10:20, Philippians 1:19 are just a few where it specifically is talking about the Holy Spirit and says in reference to the Holy Spirit, he or him.
Wow.
So here's the thing. I think your original answer was right in the same ballpark as my answer.
Okay.
I think the simplest answer to it is the reason that it's important for us to refer to God as a he, is because that's the way that the scriptures refer to him.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not making any of this up. We're basing everything that we're saying and teaching in ministry on what the texts of the scriptures say. And so it may be uncomfortable for some people who have preconceived notions about who God is or who God might be to be faced with definite truths about God based on his scripture.
Right.
And that's one of the things, that's one of the challenges we face in the world anytime you get into a conversation, a theological conversation. But here's what I would say that I think is important to remember, that the fact that God is a he, okay, does not devalue feminism. God created the woman.
In fact, we're the bride, aren't we?
That's right. The church is the bride of Christ. And so we as men can be too macho and go, I don't like referring to us as the bride, you know? Well, tough. That's the way God refers to you. He is the masculine and his church is the feminine. And it's important to talk that way. And it's important to say, the only reason it's important for us to call God a he is because that's what the text does.
Yeah.
And we have to base what we're saying on something outside of ourselves. We can't just, God just can't be whoever you want him to be.
Yeah.
He is who God's word says he is, whether we like it or not, or whether we feel good about it.
And he is, I am.
Here's the other thing about it. There's another figure in the Bible that it's also over and over and over again referred to as a he, and his name is Satan.
Satan, yeah.
Okay, so to say that, okay, since God is a he, you know, that must mean that men are more important somehow than women, or that the value of the female is somehow diminished by God being referred to as he. It's absolutely untrue.
Right.
It's a trick of the masculine Satan, the he, for you to think that somehow God can't be can't incorporate a feminine creature and feminine creation who he created femininity, by the way, you know. I just think it's a fascinating question.
It is.
To wrestle with.
It is.
And
if the presupposition is that the scriptures are true, I think there's a very clear answer then.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
but if you're asking the question because you don't want the scriptures to be true, that there's other questions behind the question.
There is. I think what at the heart of this is, here's what we've got. We're operating and living in a culture now, whether we like it or not, that has competing narratives with the narrative of the Bible.
I got to write an essay about this actually this week.
So what you have in this question is you have a competing narrative.
Right.
You have a narrative that says it is somehow discriminatory or chauvinist or sexist to even consider that God would be masculine in any way, or that he would have a gender. So that narrative would say, if there is a God, that God can't be a man or a woman because that would devalue.
That
doesn't fit with my narrative. Yeah. And that's, I think, fascinating, because what we have to say is we can either base what we believe off of the narrative of the texts of Scripture, which is in direct contrast to so many things that we hear now in art, in music, in science,
postmodern, post-truth, post-fact, post-world.
Media and social media and all of the things, the internet, you know, because everything that's on the internet's true, obviously. Why don't we base everything on that? but the competing narratives, this is a huge deal for us now. So it is important for us, I think, to, as Christians, to know the meta narrative, to know the big story of the Bible, to know a garden to garden story that God is that you know, we are created, we're creatures, we're always going to be creatures. We are in an absolute total rebellion against him, but he loves us anyway, and mm-hmm. he has redeemed us through his son, Jesus Christ. And he's not finished restoring his creation. He hasn't abandoned his creation. He loves every part of his creation, and he is actively working to restore and redeem it. And he will restore us creatures to the creation we were intended to be stewards of. And mm-hmm. we were created in his image, man and woman, mm-hmm. Created in his image, and he will raise our bones from the dead. And this narrative is what we believe. And so we're going to hear things all the time. And we should. And it's okay to hear things all the time that compete with that mm-hmm. or that come up against that. And
competing narratives. We're going to talk about that in the next section, I think.
Yeah.
Westworld.
Well, yeah. Competing narratives in Westworld and everything else, but so that's Jedi.
That's
Mind
a great
Tricks.
Question.
Yeah,
that's
it's a great question, and you may, as a listener, get that question or have gotten that question. Mm-hmm. And if you get any other questions,
send them our
that
way.
You want to send to us, you can get us through what's the name of the website, James?
Godgeeks.com.
Okay, and we're on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the James Cleland,
and I'm at Bill Brimer, and you can message either one of us.
Oh yeah.
And get us through the website too, and submit yep. your questions to us, and we'll gladly discuss them both in Jedi Mind Tricks or in This Week in Geek, which is the segment we've got coming up right now.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
This week in Geek. Next week's a big week in Geek, but we're going to kick off This Week in Geek.
Well, why? Why?
Well,
is
Rogue
next...
One. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah. What's the date on that?
The 16th, if you got your early release
we
tickets.
We have our tickets.
Yes. Yeah, I got mine.
You have reserved seats.
I got reserved tickets. Seats.
That's
recliners,
pretty,
even. Yeah.
That's pretty geeky.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
By the way, really, really geeky. I get a text from James this week with a link to Columbia clothing company sportswear, and they have Rogue One jackets and coats.
Yeah, like real jackets, Columbia ones
for winter. And yep. and of course his comment was, "I want the Death Trooper jacket." And I was like, "That would be really, really. I want to see you in that because I can't imagine cool. anything."
I'm gonna hold off on buying one though because I've been losing weight on this paleo thing.
Okay.
I'm hoping to get it maybe just a regular XL, not a double XL.
Okay. All right. You're committing then. You're committing.
I'm committing. Maybe I buy a large, and then that's my incentive to keep losing weight is I want to fit in that jacket.
Okay.
That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah.
They're probably like $500 though.
and you'll just squeeze into it whether you fit into it or not because it'll be so
exactly.
cool.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll cut some vents into it. It'll fit. We got our game this week, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Our
movie game. What we've decided is
Billy the Kid
biopic.
Billy
the Kid movie. A true Western.
Yeah.
Which we haven't.
Not a comedy.
There hasn't been a good Western in a while. True Grit was the Coen Brothers with Jeff Bridges. To me, that was the last really great one that came out that I was really in love with.
There was this one weird one with Ewan McGregor or Jude Law or someone in it, and I still slow Western, I think, something like that.
I don't know.
Haven't seen it. It's supposed to be kind of good, but
I don't know.
It looks weird.
Yeah.
So no, it hasn't been a good Western.
But this
one.
Hypothetical movie game that
yeah, we're
going to
get it made. So.
Is this is your task here?
Yeah.
Find a screenwriter, director, however you want to call it, or producer, really kind of whoever you want to head up the movie, and then your lead character. Billy the Kid. Next week we'll pick a movie with a female lead, but sorry.
That's a good idea.
Since God's a man, we're picking a movie with Billy the Kid. So James, give me your picks.
Okay. Have you seen the movie Drive?
I think so.
You think so? Okay. Ryan Gosling.
Uh-huh.
Getaway Driver.
Yes.
Kind of plays out kind of slow. 70.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ryan Gosling is my Billy the Kid.
He is mine too.
Oh, are you serious?
I kid you not. He's my pick too.
We haven't done that yet. Okay, cool. And I was thinking the director from Drive.
Okay.
To do it.
Which is?
Nicholas Winding Refn.
Okay. So I'm going with Scott Cooper, who is Black Mass with Johnny Depp.
Oh.
Out of the Furnace with Christian Bale.
Uh-huh.
Crazy Heart with Jeff Bridges, the music one. I'd like to see him do a true Western. Because I feel like
why are you thinking him?
I just think I like that the hardcore, like the real edge to Out of the Furnace to me,
mm-hmm.
underrated movie. Mm-hmm. I actually wrote a review for that movie for the Mungle Show, and that was a good movie. And I felt like all the actors were great in it, and there was an edge to it. Woody Harrelson was awesome in it,
uh-huh.
and Christian Bale was really good. But Black Mass has that really ultra-violent edge to it.
Right.
And that's what I would be looking for in a Billy the Kid
to
Western.
To take some of the mythos surrounding him and ground it a little bit
in
the violence of Billy the Kid.
Make it disturbing to where you didn't actually
it's
like...
It's kind of the same thing I was thinking with Drive
a little bit. Maybe you start liking...
Yeah.
And I think that would be the good contrast if you had a Ryan Gosling is that... He can play a likable guy, but then when it started getting dark, it'd be hard to, you'd be torn as the audience of, do you want this guy to actually succeed? Because I think he's kind of a monster, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway.
That's cool. We picked the same person.
Yeah.
All right. So Ryan Gosling is Billy the Kid.
We got to not do that because then.
Yeah. Did you think of anyone else that you would have?
No, I went with, what would be a, you know, obviously you got to have a younger guy. Yeah.
I was thinking
that can play the dark character.
Right. My other possible guy would have been James Franco.
Not bad.
An interesting way to do it. Yeah. But yeah.
I admire James Franco, but I feel like he's
such a goober at the same time.
Well, he's actually tried to make a bunch of movies too that I just don't think he has any business as a director trying to make.
Right.
Some Faulkner books he's tried to put in to make his movies.
Yeah.
He's been after some Cormac McCarthy.
Uh-huh.
He has tried to really make, tried really hard to make Blood Meridian by Cormac McCarthy. And I hope to God that never happens because I just don't think he can do it. No,
yeah.
I just don't. I don't think he's good. I don't think he's a good
director. I like him as an actor.
Yeah. I think he can do his thing in a role.
Yeah.
But
I think he's a good comedy screenwriter too, but
he's just kind of a goofball, but hey, speaking of goofballs, we're on this journey of, let's give me a food update where you have over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Done a really pretty strict.
I would say I've
you've changed your diet.
I've changed my diet. There were probably twice that I, you know, fell into old habits.
Uh-huh.
And then immediately it was like, you know what, that wasn't worth it in any way, shape, or form. In fact, I don't even feel good.
Yeah.
Which was probably good for me to fall on that for a moment.
Uh-huh.
And be like, you know what, I don't need a hamburger. I don't need sugar. The one thing that I'm surprised I have not given into is I haven't had I haven't drank any calories in 14 days.
That's
now,
a huge difference.
Yeah.
It's got to be a huge difference.
I mean, milk,
in the way
juice, any of that stuff.
You're drinking basically water and black coffee.
Black coffee.
Or
I've unsweet tea now. And then this morning I made like a paleo smoothie.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Yeah.
I can live off that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm discovering fruits that I guess I've ignored for a long time, like figs. I'm totally into figs right now.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to like hack this thing, make it more like a hobby, if you will. So I've taken up making beef jerky.
Yeah,
that's cool. Kind of fun.
I think it's so fun to see you do this.
Yeah,
and I'm proud of you. And I'm.
My work job is doing a competition, a weight loss competition.
Yeah,
starting like January when we get back from school.
Yeah, and I heard you say so you're gonna fatten up.
I'm
before
fatten
then.
Up beforehand,
no,
then
you're
do paleo
go on
again.
A binge,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Going on a bender before then, but
no,
don't
but
do
I
th- that.
I, no, I'm gonna stick with this, and that's a good incentive because they're gonna do that for like 2 months, and I'm gonna.
Yeah,
I'm gonna, you know, my goal originally was let's make it till Christmas. Now my goal is let's make it to, Valentine's Day on a fairly strict diet.
Yeah, well, you'll see a huge difference.
I think so. And it'll be good for my back, which is, and we got a baby coming, and this is just a smart move.
I think, in general. Thank you for being transparent with the listeners. And I feel like there's, because we got, I mean, as far as I know, we're building a following somehow.
We got some peeps out there.
We got some listeners out there.
Maybe start reviewing us on iTunes.
Maybe they'll.
We're all 5-star reviews right now.
All right,
you know, that's
all right.
A thing. But when you only have, you know, 10 reviews, that's easy.
We're going to get into some geekiness of Westworld and Rogue One. But before we do, I just want to take a quick second. This reminds me.
Yeah.
And give a shout out to Jeff and Dan at Virtue in the Wasteland. They gave me a shout out on their podcast and played some of my song. And I really appreciated that. It meant a lot to me.
Yeah,
and
that's a good podcast.
They've got great stuff. And it happened to be, of all things that they shared my song and talked about me with, it was on the Reformation. So I don't know. I don't know how it ties in. But if you're not a listener to them, man, it's an entertaining and informative show. And they will go on and on and on. And so you'll have the amount of content that they have on one podcast.
There's some good content.
So this week in Geek, I'm geeking out about the Virtue in the Wasteland podcast. But what we're really going to get into here...
We got to wrap up Westworld.
Why? Why do we have to wrap it up?
I know.
Why does it have to be over?
I know.
Well, what happened? I mean...
That's a good question. I'm so excited about this episode, though, to talk about it. Partially because, I'm in seminary or whatever. Well, my class right now I'm taking is about the master narrative, about the meta narrative. Uh-huh. And one of our assignments this week is to look at a piece of pop culture or TV show, movie, something, and talk about narrative.
Yeah.
And this episode is going to be perfect to write about. Because it's a narrative about narratives.
Yeah. So we're going to spoil some things here.
Yeah.
So if you haven't watched it, you're not geeky enough to be listening this far into the podcast anyway. So buckle up because it's going to be ruined.
Well, let's talk about some of our theories that were confirmed.
Okay, well, they weren't my theories.
My theories that were confirmed, maybe.
You had the two storyline theory where William, the young William, and the man in black were the same person. And
that
absolutely came to be true.
I liked
put
the black hat on scene. And I thought it was a smart move on their part because I think most people kind of eventually figured some of that out.
This is going to be terrible for me to say, but I think for the mechanism in the story, what I would have liked to seen... is I really would have liked to seen William do something more to that guy to really show us that he went dark.
Yeah.
But I guess they probably couldn't have had him.
Might be saving some of that.
They could be. Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like it was a little bit, I felt like that character played such a great antagonist and all of a sudden he's just riding off naked on a
laughing.
Horse and it's like
I wanted a little more of a showdown between
I felt
the
like
them.
They swept it under the rug a little bit and kind of it felt like a little bit of a letdown.
I have a feeling that'll be part of the what we get to see flashback style in the following season maybe.
I felt like that character was a little bit unrealistic. If there were any of the characters that I didn't feel like were grounded.
Yeah, Logan, I think his name was.
He was one that stuck out to me as when is this guy going to get what's coming to him? Because he's obviously terrible. There's no redeeming quality to him.
Right.
And that's what usually drives me crazy about a character is if you got such a bad guy and there's nothing redeemable about him and they don't get the axe at a certain point, you kind of go, why is he in there? Why doesn't he have a redeemable quality that makes you want to go, well, maybe he should, have grace or mercy on this guy.
Yeah.
But there was nothing like that. It was just, he was very hateable and I felt like he took up a lot of screen time and there was no payoff. But everything else, I have no other problems with Westworld whatsoever. I
didn't have any problems until you said that, so thanks.
Well,
you're right. Yeah. Which is why I'm glad they kind of got that
out
of the way in the first half of the episode.
I like that one character, but besides that, I mean,
that's a pretty good show.
Anthony Hopkins is dead.
Yep. I think any theories about him coming back to life, yada, yada, yada. No, the actor has said, I'm done with that role.
Has he?
Yeah, pretty much. He's dead.
He's
dead.
Come out and said.
Yeah, it was great playing him, but we're done.
Oh yeah, he was phenomenal.
It was awesome. That was awesome, and that was a good story arc for him.
I think what's fascinating, the Ed Harris may be dead. He may not be.
I don't think he is.
They didn't show him being dead, but they shot
that smile.
That was so great. That was one of the best.
I finally
scenes.
Have my challenge. That's why I think
that
he's
was
not
one
dead
of the best
because
scenes is like he got
now
shot.
Now he gets to play the game he wants to play.
Yeah, he got shot, and the look on his face was like, "This is great. Like they're gonna kill me. Like they're actually gonna fight back.
Or
this
I'm gonna get to fight them."
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And I feel like that was a. That was a big payoff for that character, especially when you see, here's the thing. The man in black didn't have a lot of redeeming qualities until you found out he was for sure William,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Then you're like, I like this guy and I don't want him to die.
Right.
And
I might
so,
want him to be more like William a little bit, but
yeah. And maybe there's still a chance.
You're sad for him, much like Dolores was.
Here's what's interesting though. What's complex about that particular character is, I think he wants those hosts to be more real.
Oh yeah, that's definitely what
he wants them to kill.
Yeah.
And be if they're gonna be
that's
killed,
why he's happy at
if
the
all
end.
The things that are gonna happen to him are gonna happen to him,
yeah.
He wants them to be able to take revenge, and that would be what
Well, I was rewatching his character a little bit, just kind of some snippets from past episodes to try to figure out, well, what is it he really wants? He likes the park because the narrative has meaning. He feels like the world outside the park is random. There's no meaning. Your stories just end in death and yada, yada,
and he's
yada.
He's searching for the meaning.
He's searching for meaning. So, but he wants a meaning where there's real stakes.
Yeah.
He wants to have his cake and eat it too. And then he, of course, is not realizing there is a master narrative outside of the park. And
yeah, right.
Yeah.
But that's kind of part of the whole
that's
show.
That's the part of the show, yeah.
And then, what's her name? I can't even think of it. The main character.
Dolores. Yeah.
Dolores,
or Wyatt, if you want to call
Dolores
her that now.
Dolores is...
I was
Dolores
right about that.
Dolores commits a murder of Anthony Hopkins Ford.
Yeah, theocide, you could even call it.
Yeah, she commits... Okay, interesting.
Is what they're kind of spinning it as.
So she commits the murder, and the murderer is what actually determines... That she has a conscience,
uh-huh.
which is a fascinating twist.
Uh-huh.
But that she is her own. She is, I guess, the
choice,
an aware being.
The choice,
like it's sort of the
awareness,
AI
yeah.
awareness thing.
Yeah.
And what was really cool to me was the 1980s Terminator. This last episode. There was a storyline in the last episode where Eschaton and the snake lady, the snake tattoo lady,
yeah.
they went cyborg Terminator,
oh,
and
yeah.
it was cool. And
it
did
was
you,
pretty cool.
Did you see the ending after the credits?
Yes, yes, where she cuts her arm out, and then she cuts her arm out,
yeah, and she goes,
not
and that
done.
Was the most 1980s like
yeah.
throwback thing to happen, but it was really cool because it was like, as violent as it was, the
right.
show needed
well,
that.
Well, these violent delights have violent ends.
Well, but the show needed that fun angle.
It did.
It needed that.
Yeah.
It needed that suspenseful sort of. Here's all these this army of these guys coming in, and it's Terminator. It's time to go Terminator.
Yeah.
And
the hint at the other parks.
That was to me the big payoff.
I like
because
that.
I've been saying if you recall all
yeah.
season
yeah,
long
we've been talking
I've
about
been saying
being...
I wonder if next season is going to be Rome or whatever. Well. There's an unlimited number of ways they can go because
they
went
samurai.
They
went
samurai, world.
Which is not in the original
SW,
source material.
Samurai world,
samurai
I guess.
World. Yeah.
And they're in their training, and the guy goes, "It's a long story or whatever." Or,
long story.
It's a long story. Well,
so there's a whole season right there
so
if you wanted
I
it.
I think
yeah.
what's interesting is there is a really good chance that the next season could primarily take place in a different,
sure, you
with a completely
that.
Different
yeah.
setting,
yeah.
and perhaps they try to. Get a lid on Dolores, and
yeah.
they recreate her as in the samurai world,
yeah.
and put her in, you
yeah.
know,
or medieval
to,
world or
they,
whatever.
They temporarily yeah. have to shut down Westworld because
yep.
of some glitches,
There's
you know,
some glitches
which,
in
which
Westworld.
Happens to be the people, you know, the hosts
yeah.
having awakening, and then
yeah.
how is that going to spill into all these other worlds?
Yeah.
It's fascinating, great show.
So
great
many different
show.
Directions they could go.
One of the best shows on TV.
Oh.
This year.
Hands down, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it ended up being the highest rated first season HBO show ever. So that's a good sign that we're going to get some more seasons of it.
Oh, I think we will for sure.
Oh, yeah. Season 2 has already been renewed. So, yeah. It will be 2018.
right.
When we get to see our next Westworld episode, though.
Well, we've gone and talked so long about Westworld. We didn't even really get Rogue One. Rogue One.
You know what? We'll talk about Rogue One after we see it.
The theme song is playing, and we don't have time to get to Rogue One. But here's the deal: we're gonna see Rogue One on opening night, and we will review it. Of course, this will be next Friday.
Yeah. So you might get an episode a day late.
You might get an episode on Friday and then the next week.
Yeah, something like that.
Christmas week, whatever. Yeah. We'll probably figure it out. We'll still geek out on Christmas week because we love you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you don't listen on Christmas week, it'll still be there for you because we're just like that. We're just there for you. And we'll see you next time on the God Geeks podcast.
That was, of course, God Geeks.